question I have, Eric, is how does Mayor Bava, if we're linked with a particular faith, church, or whatever denomination, how does Mayor Bava want us to merge that into loving him?
So whenever you belong to any denomination or any religion, whatever it be, Baba wants you to be that. He doesn't want you to leave your religion. On the contrary, if you are a Christian, he wants you to live the life of what Jesus Christ wanted you to do. So become a good Christian. If I am a Zoroastrian by birth, which I am, I have to be a good Zoroastrian. He doesn't wish us to relinquish our religion and just get out of it. On the contrary, these are the channels through which we approach him and be with him.
How important is it that we tell others in the church or about Mayor Bava?
Well, in the church and about Mayor Bava, I'll tell you a little episode that occurred. In the early years, Mayor Bava was Mehrwan Sheria Irani, for those who knew of him. His name, Christian name, Mehrwan. Father's name Sheria, family name is Irani, Mehrwan Sheria Irani. So he was known as Mehrwan Sheria Irani. And he grew up and was found to be, I can't say a character as you all call it in American lingo, because there are many what you call definitions to a character, you see. But he was somewhat different from the rest of the students, the boys, or youth, or young men, like that, in gradation. But one great thing was that there was some magnetism that attracted even his school friends, became closely friendly with him. When they have their squabbles and quarrels, they would approach him for arbitration. In youth also the same way. Wherever he went, he would draw the attention of the people and so forth. And yet he remained Mehrwan Sheria Irani. Then things happened. Then he was known as Mehr Bava, because no longer could those who grew up with him and adhered to him and became his followers didn't wish to address him as Mehrwan. It was too familiar. They felt embarrassed to call him by his Christian name, you see. They didn't know what to say, what should be used, you see. They felt a bit awkward to call him by his Christian name. It was too familiar, but he commanded some sort of respect or something without him telling others about it. He was so natural. So among themselves, they thought of something, and they came to this conclusion that how nice it would be if we were to call him, we should retain Meher there. Meher means compassion, Meher means the son, S-U-N. Baba means the father, friend, companion, that is the Indian word. So Meher Baba. So they asked him, and Baba said, yeah, that suits me well, yeah, fine, call me Meher Baba. So that's how he was known as Meher Baba, amongst the group of people. Then came a time when he had started his ministry, and he didn't wish that he be known to the world by name. He wanted to be mingle with the crowd incognito. And for years together, he rubbed shoulders against public people there, be in the crowds, be in the local transport buses, in the trains, or on the station platforms, or on the streets and all that. And yet he wouldn't be recognized by anybody. Many had come to know about Mehr Baba in the early years, but they had heard the name. So often people would come and point at us, and all of a sudden his personality was such that if he is sitting somewhere, he would come and quietly, is he Mehr Baba? But well, we were ordered by him not to expose him by name, through name. So we would feign deafness and we'd say, what did you say? And he said, is he Mehr Baba? And he'd say, what? For two, three times if he were to say that, the person would say that, well, he cannot be Mehr Baba because they don't know even the name, you see. So he cannot be so. That's how we used to get rid of it all. So that's how his name was a taboo. nobody should know who he is or anything else. That went on for quite a long time. In 1954, to cut the story short, to come to your question, in the meantime, I'm sorry, in between that, people who would contact him, he allowed them to come to him and all that, and recognize him by name of Meher Baba. That's for the public. This is now for the following four few people who followed him. So, they were not satisfied with just calling him Meher Baba, but they had to give him some sort of a designation or a title or something like that. So they started calling him out Sri Meher Baba and Sri Sadguru Meher Baba. Sadguru means perfect master. Or they didn't feel satisfied, so they said, well, His Divine Majesty and so forth and so on. Titles were given, you see, by followers through their love and enthusiasm. It meant nothing for Baba. He remained Meher Baba. Even when he went for the first time in 1930s, to Europe, England and all that. Well, he gave audience to the people there and they said, he was introduced as simple Meher Baba. And they would say, how do you do, Mr. Meher Baba? How do you do, Mr. Meher Baba? Mr. Meher Baba. So he was known as Mr. Meher Baba in general. And that's how each one introduced Baba to the others and all that, by Sadguru Meher Baba, Sri Meher Baba, His Divine Majesty and so forth and so on, Mr. Meher Baba and all that. But in 1954, he introduced himself to humanity. And there, in the midst of a small gathering of rustics, not the elite, far and out back, you see, in a village, where they had received him and they kept him for some time on a hillock. And there Baba expressed his wish and pleasure to have a little singing program and to give them company and all that. So past midnight, Baba says, well, they are all keeping vigil and all that with me. Give them a cup of tea each other so that they can remain fresh and all that. So they are having a good time throughout the day and throughout the night. Past midnight, I forget the exact hour, but it was past midnight. And in the course of him giving company and the music going on, people singing. He was not speaking. He had observed silence from 1925. So he gestured, stop. So the interpreter, I was the interpreter, said, Baba wants you to just stop. So they stopped singing or doing anything. And he dictated on the board, said loudly, Avtar Meher Baba Ki Jai. Means hail victory to Avtar Meher Baba. And that enthused them. People knew what Avtar meant and they had a little inkling, they had something that here is somebody who is somebody. We don't know, but when he himself introduced himself as who he is, well, that took a flare in the hearts of people who were around there in the district and all that. From that day onwards, people began to not only hail him as the avatar, but they revere him, adore him, and believe him to be so. Well, that's fine. That's avatar of the age. I am the same ancient one. Then he went round and himself would give messages. I am the same ancient one, once again in your midst. I give the same old message. Love God. And then after a pause he says, love me, because I am God in human form. And so that filled the hearts of those who followed him closely with such enthusiasm that they went round and telling people, hey, listen to this now. What are you doing? What's this worship, you know, with vermilion powder and this and that, breaking coconut and stone image and all. Here is the living ancient one coming amidst. He is the avatar, is Meher Baba the avatar. So this went on for some time. To give you an example, that detracted many ardent worshippers of Lord Krishna, Lord Jesus Christ, Buddha, Muhammad and others of all nationalities and castes you see in India. What is this? Every now and then they would tell about Baba and his life and this and that. And so in their worship, in their devotion, there was a bifurcation. You see. While they are thinking about, say, Lord Ram or Lord Krishna or Jesus Christ, immediately Meher Baba's image would come. So there was a distraction in their worship and devotion to them. And it went on for quite a long time. Unbeknown to those who were around, those who lived with Baba, because people went around in their enthusiasm, they were saying that. Eventually it came to Baba's ears, and Baba was very upset with this. He was very sad, and he says, "What are you all doing? You are belittling me in Jesus, belittling me in Ram and Krishna. I am the same ancient one, and those who are devoted to him and them, or the him in different forms, why do you detract them from the worship and devotion? Do you realize what you are doing? You are not serving my cause like that. On the contrary, you are hampering. Don't do that. On the contrary, tell them how to love their Lord. That would be doing my work. Tell them how they should be sincere in their love for their own Lord whom they are worshipping. Let them become true Zoroastrians, let them become true Hindus, let them become true Buddhists, true Christians, true Muslims, and so forth and so on." That's how the lecture was given in my presence. A discourse was given, not a lecture. He's not a lecturer. So he gave that discourse. And after a long time of different examples and all that, and he says, but he then punctuated with, "But," and then he stopped. And all are anxious. What does that mean? "But" means what? With all that, all the exhortation he gives us, you see. But, and then he stopped, and then he smiled, and he said, he digressed totally. He says, "You know what had happened, last world war, how the commodities got scarce, what had happened, everything was scarce, and in that, at that time, there was a family, a British family, lived with, who had the son, first born, the only son. He was growing. It had nothing to do with what he was telling, you see. All of a sudden this digression took place. We did not know what he was trying to imply or anything else. And he said, "You know, they were so conscientious about the health of their, what you call, child, that mother and father took great care how they fed their child and all that. So it was a sort of a habit, or what is the word that we should use? See? It was sort of a what? A regime or?
Yeah.
Regime. To give the child every morning Quaker oats. Have you heard of Quaker oats? Baba asked us, "Have you heard of Quaker oats?"
Yeah.
So we said, "Yeah." It was famous, and it is still famous. It's going on. It's stronger and stronger. That used to give, Baba would say, that gave the child the strength, the energy, the growth, and all that sort of thing. So, unfailingly, every morning the child had to be fed on Quaker oats, because they were very fond of that child, that the growth of the child, the health of the child.
Poor child.
So, apart from other eggs and other things, Quaker oats was a must. So that's how. But now what happened? One morning, when the mother is preparing the porridge for the child, she found to her horror that was the last scoop from the tin. And knowing fully well that the commodities are scarce, Quaker oat was an imported thing in India, and what to do and all that, so there were a lot of misgivings. And she was very much upset about it, that why did I not see it earlier and all that. So as soon as the breakfast was over, as soon as everything was done, she makes a beeline to the stores where she used to buy Quaker oats and other things, you know. So she goes there, the storekeeper knew her, she knew the stores, everything was fine, and she had little misgivings, God knows what should be done, whether they will have it or not. And when she entered the store, she brightened up. Still, there was a solitary tin on the shelf of Quaker oats, she could see it. And she makes a beeline to that. I said, "Holds the Quaker oat tin." I says, "I want that." The shopkeeper tells her, "Madam, that's not for you. It's not for sale." "No, but don't you know that I always buy Quaker oats from you? Every time it's there. And why do you deny that to me? I want it. I want it badly." She says, "No, but she knew that it's the last tin. She knew that, well, in India there was little graft going on. And so she says, well, I'll pay you a little more if you want it. He says, no, no, madam, we know you, and no, you can't have it. No, but I want it. Please give it to me. So you can't have this. Why not? Madam, we have got the fresh stock of Quakers now. We don't want you to have that because you are an old customer, you know. And Baba told the story to us, and then he punctuated with, know well that I am the same ingredient, Quaker oats, but of the fresh stock. I am that. The same one, the same ancient one, but there is a difference between the stale stock and the fresh stock. Well, then, so that's how he ended the story. But that doesn't mean that you should detract them. But I am the same one. And now I have come to let you all know that I am the same ancient one. I was Krishna, I was Ram, I was Zoroaster, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha and all that. But I am of the fresh stuff. So that's all. Now it is left to every individual what one should do. And he doesn't encourage us to leave our religion. But he is so personal for each heart. To abide in one's own religion and to be devoted to him who is the founder of the religion, and Meher Baba are one and the same.
I have a nephew that keeps telling me, and I don't know the answer to tell him. Yeah. He's a born again Christian. He's driving me crazy about Meher Baba, and I don't know what to tell him.
Well, don't say anything. Born again Christian, that's wonderful. It's one step ahead because they don't believe in reincarnation. At least he has started believing that he is reborn as a Christian. That one step ahead, you know. Yeah, be happy with that.
But he says I'm going to hell, and he's angry with me all the time.
Never mind. He said, never mind if I go to hell. Well, if God is infinite existence, he has to be there. Otherwise, hell wouldn't exist. But why? Yeah, as a sequel to this, I had said this story before, some years ago, and some youngsters who were here, who were listening to that, they were enthused with this answer and said, well, this is what Baba said. So they went and started telling the school children and people and all that, the Catholic community. And then there was such an uproar there. What do you mean by that? Do you mean to say that Jesus is of stale stock? How do you call Jesus to be of stale stock? You see? So it all depends upon how you take it. I said, why did you go and do that? It's most personal. It is for our understanding. Don't trust Baba on anybody. He on his own will try to wiggle his way into the heart of you. He has come to steal the heart. So he'll do it in his own way. Stealing is never done openly. Yeah. Otherwise he'll be caught immediately. So he has to wiggle his way. He knows how to do it. By the way, Paul, Baba would say, truth is one and the same. There is no difference in what I said at the time when I was Jesus, or I said when I was Krishna, or Zoroaster, or Buddha. Truth is the same. This is one truth. That same truth at different times has to be brought out in different words, with different episodes, stories and parables, suitable to the times, circumstances of the era.